Craig is usually a fan of water cooler talk, but it's draft season, and that's all anyone wants to talk about. The Athletic has loads of articles about this year's draft, but Greg doesn't have The Athletic, so now he's filling up his water bottle in the bathroom sink, which, to remind you, is the sink people use after they use the bathroom. Get The Athletic and get the info you need to speak draft fluently. Philip has just lost the respect of the youth league football team he coaches. He was asked what New England should do in the draft, and his answer was objectively terrible. The Athletic just wrote a great article about this, but Philip doesn't have The Athletic or the respect of a boisterous group of 11-year-olds who once looked up to him. Learn from Philip's error, get The Athletic, and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
The Five Star Zone with Rico Beard.
Welcome to another edition of the Five Star Zone. Evan, we're probably looking at about 100 days to college football. Means we'll probably be getting Howard back, but I got Evan right now. And Evan, you were with me from day one. I do want to talk about a couple things. One, the Vegas over-under came out. So let's just stick with the local teams here in Michigan. Michigan over-under 10.5 wins. This, to me, is just an easy over. I guess Vegas is hoping and thinking, well, maybe they could lose two games. I really don't see it.
I mean, the question relies on how good is Penn State's quarterback. That's what it is for me.
Yeah.
Because they go to Happy Valley. They have the five-star that was a freshman last year, played sparingly, but they got him in a lot like Michigan did with JJ when he was a freshman. They had a true freshman running back that was all world. So you got to expect him to improve a little bit. And this isn't just a hater. I would take the under. I don't see them beating Ohio State 3 years in a row.
Yeah.
I don't.
Okay, here's the thing. Now, you're not being a hater, Evan. I think you're just thinking the law of averages, but I've seen this before. I've seen this when it was Michigan saying, well, Ohio State's just not going to keep beating us every year. And they did.
Sure.
I saw this when, for Michigan, well, Michigan State's just not going to keep beating us. Actually, they did. And I think now the tables are turned. For Michigan, yeah. Ohio State is broken. They figured it out. They got the cheat code, you name it. That's not the same Ryan Day where he's now doing panicky things. He's not running their game plan. Ohio State every other week looks like world beaters. When they come in to play Michigan, they look scared. They look tight. Ryan Day has lost the mojo. They don't. Yeah, if right here, right now, if I had to put money on it, I got Michigan beating Ohio State. The toughest game for Michigan is November 11th when they got to go to Penn State.
Yeah, I mean, and you got to imagine that's also going to be a night game.
Right.
I mean, big noon kickoff,
no,
depending if Fox has it.
Oh, my God. I hate Fox for the big noon kickoff.
Like, it's cool to start watching early, but the big game should be at night.
If they do what they did last year, at least Notre Dame and NBC have a contract together.
Yeah,
Fox
basically
said, there is no other team. It's Michigan at noon every week, and we're going to put just Gus and Joel. We're going to follow. They literally followed them on their weekly show to every place that Michigan played in.
Yes.
I think including Indiana football. Really?
But you also
Indiana football.
Well, and that game's a prime example, too, where you can get scared in the Big Ten. Michigan didn't go in there and thump Indiana like they should. You know what I mean? And I just – 10 wins, I think, is the easy one, and that's why they put it at 10.5, man, right?
Honestly, Evan, that's – if they lose – because here's the thing. I know the Big Ten does the whole – for some reason, that late in November, they don't want night games because it's going to be too cold. Like, honestly, I don't care.
Right, cold in football. Okay.
But – if you started at 3:30, it doesn't matter because by the time the game ends, it's night anyway. So that's the beauty of that.
What about that other school here in state?
Hold on. I'm just saying, Penn State's the only game that I can see them. Broken Ohio State.
Didn't Ohio State?
And it's in Ann Arbor? Yeah.
Aren't the rumors, I don't know if this was factual, but Ryan Day was giving up play calling? So I wonder if that changes things for him, where he gets in his own way sometimes.
And you know what? Miguel Cabrera is in the best shape of his life. There are certain things that reporters just say every year because it sounds good.
Okay.
Okay. But yeah, they don't. Ohio State still has to settle on their quarterback. There's just too many.
There's a lot of uncertainty.
I thought last year they were going to fix that. But I saw once Michigan went into Columbus and they had no answer and Blake Corum couldn't do anything and Donovan Moore just kept it going.
It's crazy because you're right. Donovan Edwards.
Donovan Edwards. Yeah. Donovan Edwards just kept that thing rolling and rolling. It was nothing. Ohio State, it's like, oh, you have all these first-round wide receivers, and you don't know what to do with them.
Well, and you also had the second overall pick in the NFL draft, and C.J. Stroud throwing him the ball.
And it all it did was look like the game from a year before, just in a different location, minus the snow. The sun was out.
No, you're right. And if Ohio State doesn't have an answer to Michigan running the ball, which obviously that's what Michigan's going to do, right? I mean – when A.J. Henning decided to transfer out, he said, if you throw the ball, I'm going to come visit you.
Yeah.
And I'm like, okay, well, people in Michigan, they realize it's run, then pass. Like,
it's run
is the first option always.
It's run, quarterback scramble, run, scramble, play action to the tight end, and run, scramble.
And you're right. Scramble, if Ohio reverse. State can't figure that out, and also – maybe have somebody at the second level just in case they do break through the line.
Yeah, and Ohio State's defensive line is not from the days when the Boses were there.
Chase
Youngs. Their defensive line at Michigan just they went right through them like a hot knife through butter. So I clearly see the over for that one. For Michigan State, it's 4.5. I see the over for that one as well. Here's the funny thing about it. First of all, I think Vegas kind of set it at 4.5 because I don't really think Vegas cares. Vegas doesn't do much research when it comes to Michigan State. You'd be like, oh, it's Vegas. Vegas knows who their moneymakers are. I tell you, the best conversation I ever had was with one of the guys, like the pit boss of the sports book. And it was early morning, and I was just talking. I'm like, why do you guys always, this is like maybe 15 years ago, why do you guys always disrespect Michigan State? And he's like, son, we care about money. Michigan State fans don't come out here and bet. So, honestly, he said, I put my three kids through college thanks to Notre Dame, Michigan, and USC. Their fans come out here all the time. So, you entice that fan base. Honestly, I think for Michigan State, it was like, guys, how many games? Wait, the quarterback left and the wide receiver left. So, 4.5. Everybody, we good with that 4.5? Okay. Put it at 4.5. Let's see if anybody bites. If they do, we'll move it. I look at it. I see six games. I got six games that I think they should win. I got three games that I have in the toss-up category, and then I got three games that probably you're not going to win.
I don't know if you noticed this, Rico, but a lot of Michigan State fans seem to be afraid of their own shadow. So I bet half of the Michigan State fans that are listening are hemming and hawing on the 4.5 games.
Oh, they're hemming and hawing. This thing's so horrible.
And so Vegas is right. You're not going to get a big, strong
contingency
to come in and be like, this isn't over no matter what.
Dude, Michigan State fans only support their team when it's over and they're in the Rose Bowl or some game. You know that from the phone calls that we get.
I agree.
Michigan could be 0-11 going into Ohio State and they still will say, we got a chance. If State is undefeated, they treat it like a no-hitter. Can't say anything.
Oh, yeah.
Can't do anything. No. Because what if we lose? I don't even want to get into that. I'm going to go back to what the topic we're talking about because I'm not going to bash on the whole fan base.
No, but that was just my point. That's why Vegas does that because they're not coming in heavy hitters like super confident or overconfident.
Mattress Mac ain't putting $1.5 million on State's over or under in that game.
I'm not a betting man a lot. Like, I don't bet a good amount of money when I do place bets, but I would place one of my heavier bets on them going over 4.5.
Right.
And that's just me knowing that a Big Ten football team should win 5 games a year.
For Michigan State, this parallels two years ago.
Like, they can't be worse than last year, can they, Rico?
Well, you know, it was a caller yesterday who really kind of put in perspective. I forgot his name. I wish I knew it because I want to give him all the credit in the world. But he was like, think about this. The defense, I think, had, 29 injuries on it.
Mm-hmm.
Then you had the 9 or 8 guys suspended from the tunnel incident at Michigan. You were one of the worst pass defenses in college football. And this team was still Elijah Collins cutting to the right instead of the left of making a bowl game.
Sure.
Okay? as bad as the season was, if Collins runs to the right, that's in the middle of the field, they beat Indiana, this team is playing in a bowl game, either in downtown Detroit or downtown Phoenix.
And you probably feel different about the team coming into this year.
As I don't think you're going to run. That, to me, was a doomsday scenario. I've never seen 29 people lost at some point for the year on a defense. And I think
the writing was on the wall, too, because the very first game when Darius Snow went down, you should have.
Snow went down and Henderson went down.
Yeah, right. Yeah, right then and there, first game.
And what I'm looking at now is I think a lot of the depth you may have because of all the injuries and all the playing, I think the front seven is going to probably be the strength of the team as of right now. But it just kind of reminds me a lot of 2 years ago. I'm not saying they're going to have the same results. Rocky Lombardi leaves. You got an unknown at quarterback. Remember, everybody thought Jake Russo was going to be the guy. And it wasn't.
I remember somebody betting you on air that right. It was happening.
I was like, it's not going to be that guy. It was Gator. Like Gator. It's Russo. My guys told me it's Russo. All right, your guys trump my guys, Gator. It's Thorne. But you had a running back who came in and nobody knew about. Kind of was an also-ran. There was just a ton of transfers who came in. And in the end, it all kind of clicked and they won. I'm not saying that's going to happen, but they were also 4.5. Their win total was 4.5.
Hit it within 5.
First play of the game, I think you kind of knew everything was going to go differently. 75 yards, touchdown, Kenneth Walker. This kid may be something. I'm not saying Nate Carter is going to be that guy to transfer from UConn, but he's got Kenneth Walker-like tendencies where he just plants the foot, goes north and south, very strong runner. Just somebody you want to keep an eye on. I think, as I said, for Michigan, it's November 11th. That's their key game. For Michigan State, it's September 16th. Home game against Washington. Good chance that's going to be a night game. 10-year reunion of the Rose Bowl. That's how long it's been. But the Rose Bowl 10-year reunion, probably going to be that night game. I got to double-check this, but I think if it is, that's a feather in State's cap because I think they've only lost 2 night games at Spartan Stadium in a long time. I can only remember Iowa on that last second play. And
that wasn't even technically a night game. That was a 3:30 that went into the night, I believe.
No. That was a night game because I remember it was
like 5 seconds left.
Yeah.
No, you're right because then there was an overturned tanker and I didn't get home till like 4 in the morning. That's right.
Yeah. I was about to say, I didn't get home for some reason. You're right about really that. Late. And Ohio State, when JT Barrett, it was his coming out party. I think it was 20.
Yeah, no, they won against Oregon. They won all those Friday night games.
Yeah. The Boise
Nebraska
State.
Was a nighttime game that they won.
Yeah.
Wisconsin, that was a nighttime game that they won.
So, yeah, when they go tonight, for some reason, they get the energy from the crowd, and they've done some things. Washington coming in, it's Michael Penix Jr. But kind of like 2 years ago, third game was Miami. It was in Miami, and it was De'Eriq King, Heisman Trophy candidate. De'Eriq King was going to just light Michigan State up. Michigan State not only knocked him out of the game, De'Eriq King never played again.
It's wild.
He never played again. Had a strip fumble, 6. He threw 4 turnovers in that game. It was not his best game. Plus, he got knocked out. He came back. He got knocked out again. I say all that to say Washington's going to tell me what's going on. They start off with Central and Richmond. Those should be 2 games that they win. Now, according to that 4.5, you only got to win 3 more games. You got Washington. You got Maryland. Maryland's going to be homecoming. I got Maryland's a toss-up game.
It's always going to be a toss-up game.
At Iowa, I have that as a toss-up game because Iowa's always got good defense, and now they're adding more and more pieces to that offense.
Oh, you mean Michigan West?
Yeah, you got Rutgers, and then they also just got Ohio State receiver transfer there, too. You got at Rutgers. I think that's one of your wins. You got Michigan at home. Now, before everybody's like, that should be one of the games they can't lose, even bad Michigan State teams play Michigan well. You may not like to hear this, Wolverine fans, but it's true. Look at last year. A depleted team took that game into the fourth quarter. Okay? It could have gone either way, and Michigan made the big play, and then it was over after that.
Absolutely.
But that game, no. I look at just some of the teams that are like the 2016 Michigan State team that went 3-9. And that game, they had a shot at the end if they get the onside kick. You know, that's when Peppers took it.
Took the two-point conversion.
So, you know, it's kind of like when Oakland plays Michigan State in basketball. Like it or not, Oakland's going to play Michigan State a lot tougher.
They just won't win, that's all.
Right, I'm just saying, it's going to be a tough game.
It's poor coaching, Rico.
At Minnesota, I think that's a game that they can win. Nebraska at home, I think that's a game. Ohio State,
no.
Mel Tucker has no way to defend Ohio State. As bad as Michigan beats Ohio State just embarrasses.
It's a controlled scrimmage for the Buckeyes. It's not even.
You'd be better off just picking five Ohio State players and bringing them over to the MSU side just to make it competitive. At Indiana, I think you can beat Indiana. And then Penn State at home. Kind of like Michigan, I've seen bad Michigan State teams upset Penn State. So that's where James Franklin kind of gets in his own way. Like even 2 years ago, Penn State should have won the game against Kenneth Walker and the Spartans. James Franklin decided, I'm not going to throw to my top wide receiver getting ready to go to the NFL. No, I'm just going to run the ball and, I lost. Yeah, you lost, James. And then he complains and because it was something wrong, so. That's your over-under totals for the local teams. I think both teams are going to go over. I think Michigan, if there's one game they're going to lose, it'll be Penn State. For MSU, I think they can over-under 4.5. I think they can easily hit 6. You're looking at the gray area between 6 and 9 games. If they catch some breaks, if things start to work and fall the right way, you could end up with like a 9-3 type of record. So that's how I see it.
I like what you're saying. Do you think so? What my question this week is going to be based on what you said here with the Spartans. What is an unbelievable season to you then for Michigan State? Taking out the obvious, they go on a run and win the national title.
Oh, no. An unbelievable season is
like an unexpected, like, holy crap, I did not see this.
That this season is the exact parallel of 2 years ago, of 2021.
Rival 10 wins.
Where you finished off the Big Ten 10-2, 11-1, and you're in a New Year's Six game. That, to me, that's a great, fantastic year. Just like it was when they were in the Peach Bowl. It wasn't a great Peach Bowl game, but you know what? Nobody remembers. It was a dog crap game. You know what they say? We went to Atlanta and we won.
And you know what? It actually wasn't that dog crap because they had to come back and win. It was as a football fan, other than the stars weren't on that field, it was one hell of a game.
It took Reed doing a little rock the baby cradle, and it took the Cal Halliday with the pick six that they wanted him to just take a knee, and he was like, F that.
I'm going.
There's nobody in front of me. And if I score, all I'm saying, coach, I finished the drill. And they couldn't say anything. Like, you in practice, you tell us to finish the drill.
Yep.
I finished the drill. So, if they make it a great season, you're in a New Year's Six game.
Are you okay if they only get 6 wins?
No.
Okay.
Not okay if they only get 6 wins.
Seven is your ceiling the bottom of the mountain that they need to get to. They need to get to 7 wins.
Honestly, it's probably at this point for the psyche of the Michigan State fans, it's 7, and one of those 7s is a Michigan victory.
Okay.
I would say 8 tells me that the program is back on an upward trajectory.
Yeah, that you can compete with the big boys.
Because take out Ohio State, you take out Michigan, and you take out Penn State, and the Big Ten is just pull a name out of a hat.
Sure.
It's no dominant teams. And at least show me that you could beat the rest. And if you could somehow steal one against one of the big boys, great. But you should be able to beat the rest of the teams. You should. Coming into the program, you had one of your better recruiting classes last year for Michigan State. So, 6 wins is a disappointment. You'll make a bowl game. It's a step forward, but it's still a disappointment. Nobody's going to feel happy about that. 7 wins, it depends on who you beat. For people to say, controversy. If the ref blew the game, it should have won that game type of thing. But I think if you hit 8 or above, it's like, okay, this ship isn't sinking.
Right.
And I think that they got a way to get it back to float again. So
cool.
Good question. All right. For Evan, this is Rico. Thanks for listening. Thanks for watching. Keep subscribing to the 5-Star Zone.